So to Afghanistan now, and a disturbing portrait of abusive authority in Afghanistan as that country embraces more of a role in its own security as U.S. troops consider withdrawal. A United Nations report claims that Afghan detainees are routinely tortured in prisons run by Afghan intelligence services and national police. The report details beatings, electric shock, the use of stress positions, the threat of sexual assault. Joining us is Georgette Gagnon, Director of Human Rights for the United Nations Assistant Mission in Afghanistan, Assistance Mission in Afghanistan. Georgette, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you detail what it is about this report that is particularly disturbing from the United Nations perspective?
The fact that the torture and abuse is happening in a number of facilities across the country, carried out quite routinely in a systematic fashion in these facilities, as well as, frankly, under the eye of some of the international forces here, at least under their watch, is what is disturbing about the report. Our focus, of course, though, is on how the Afghan forces are treating detainees they pick up.
And Georgette Gagnon, Director of Human Rights for the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan. What is the next step? What does the UN do with this information?
Well, it has been reported, of course, widely, and we have already seen a response from the ISAF and U.S. forces here, as well as the Afghan government. They have indicated they are taking a number of steps to address the issue and try to end the torture,
right,
which, of course, we will be monitoring very closely.
Accountability in Kabul, that's the voice of Georgette Gagnon, Director of Human Rights for the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, live from Kabul. Fotini Christia joins us now, Assistant Professor of Political Science and member of the Security Studies Program at MIT. Fotini, it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
Is the UN a credible source of accountability for something like this? And what are we seeing? Disarray amongst security forces, an actual endorsement by the Karzai government of these sorts of tactics, or some sort of natural transition? I hate to say it because it sounds so patronizing and brutal, but nevertheless, the difficulties in Afghanistan you've described very well for us in the past.
Well, obviously, the government denies any official complicity in what is going on. That said, colleagues and individuals that I talked to within the police basically find our reaction to this quite hypocritical, because they basically feel that given America's track record in Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib, these interrogation practices, they're not that any worse than what we've been doing, basically, was kind of their reaction. And they were also arguing that we actually are not killing them, we are just roughing them up, which was kind of disturbing in light of the fact that obviously the official line is that they're trying to clean everything up and take remedial steps.
There are two missions here I want to ask you about, Fotini Christia. One is the mission to provide a credible transition of power to Afghan forces and Afghan security forces. And then the second mission, of course, is to increase the sort of sense of civic security among civilians in Afghanistan. It seems to me that these revelations suggest both of those missions are set back.
Well, the thing is, it's definitely a serious blow to our exit strategy, which is largely focused on the building up of the Afghan national security forces. We see how it's really hard to hand over security to them because we've been focused so much on increasing the numbers. And as a result, it's very hard to ensure quality control and monitor the activity. And obviously, we can't expect this type of norms to develop around human rights in such a short period of time without any sort of accountability. And this is where the UN comes in and why their role is so important.
I'm wondering if ISAF and U.S. forces, after the experience in Iraq with all the revelations of U.S. complicity in prisoner abuses, are a credible partner here. If we have any standing trying to enforce these kinds of norms after the experience in Iraq, I mean, am I shooting in the dark here?
No, it's as I said, it's really tricky, and this is why it was so devastating to kind of hear back some of their reactions yesterday. Obviously, as I said, those were off-the-record reactions, basically claiming that based on U.S. waterboarding strategies in Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib, it's really hard for us to be making these arguments that we actually care. And there were also implications that we are deliberately turning a blind eye because we're so concerned about exit and transition that we're kind of willing to not acknowledge that these things are happening.
Before we go, Fotini, can you try to give us a perspective of how an Afghan civilian might view these revelations? Would they just be cynically dismissing the whole thing and saying, well, you know, duh? Or would there be a real sense of unease among families in Afghanistan who worried that if their loved ones get into the hands of the security forces, this is going to happen to them?
Well, it clearly does not help in winning hearts and minds and getting people to like the government more and changing their attitudes towards them. The thing is, a lot of these responses are also tribally motivated or ethnically motivated. There are a lot of different cleavages that are working on at the same time. And what's interesting, though, as I said, from the police response also, and this is again informal, is that they're basically arguing that if they fell in Taliban hands, they would be killed. So basically what they're doing is not even comparably as bad.
Well,
but you're absolutely right. I think it is troubling to the Afghans, even if not surprising.
Well, let's explore that for a moment. Is this a sign on some level? Again, I don't want to endorse brutality, but that the Taliban is a formidable enemy here and that the Afghan security forces are just expressing a frustration in their inability to constructively deal with the Taliban.
Well, obviously, I mean, this is part of what they're doing, but it also shows that this is actually a civil war going on, and these torture allegations play greatly into the information operation of the Taliban because they can use that to basically show that this government that is being propped up is basically torturing Afghan people and civilians.
Fotini Christia is assistant professor of political science and member of the Security Studies Program at MIT. Commenting on this latest human rights report from the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan. We also spoke with Georgette Gagnon, who was live for us in Kabul earlier in this segment, about the details of prisoner abuse in Afghanistan. Thank you, Fotini and Georgette.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.